פרשת ויגש. The famous showdown between Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, in which they claim that they cannot possibly return to their father Yaakov Avinu without Binyamin. Ve'ozav es aviv omis. If he's taken away from his father, then he will die. And eventually, Yosef reveals himself to the brothers and he says, Vayomer Yosef el Echav, ani Yosef. I am Yosef, ha'oid avichai. That famous introduction, Yosef to his brothers, ani Yosef, I am Yosef, ha'oid avichai, is my father still alive? With the obvious question being, the whole discussion between Yehuda and the brothers and Yosef was all based on Yaakov Avinu being alive. That was the whole basis for their time. How can we possibly return after all our father has experienced? How can we return without Binyamin, our father? So what does Yosef HaTzadik mean when he says to them, Ha'oid Avichai? Is my father alive? He knew very well that his father was alive. In fact, that was the basis for the Taina of the brothers. We've got to return Binyamin because of our father. So what does Yosef mean when he says, Ha'oid Avichai? Furthermore, the Pasuk continues and says, V'lo yochlu echov lanois oisei. They couldn't answer him. Ki nivhalu miponov. Ki nivhalu does not mean they were embarrassed. Some translate it to mean they were embarrassed. That's not what nivhalu means. Nivhalu means they were shocked. They were asked a question. The question was very simple. Ha'oid avi chai. They couldn't answer. Yes, our father is alive. It's not such a difficult question. Straightforward, poignant question. Why could they not answer it? If you look at the Medrash on this pasuk says as follows. Abu Koyin bar dela Oma. Abu Koyin said the following comment on this pasuk. Oy lonu, woe to us, miyoyim hadin. Oy lonu, miyoyim hatoychacha. Woe to us on the day of judgment. Woe to us on the day of rebuke. What did he mean? So he explains. He actually fast forwards to Bilam. Bilam, with the whole story with his donkey, the donkey says to Bilam, why are you hitting me? Time after time, three times, Hahaskein haskanti lecho. Have I ever put you in danger? Have I ever not served you the way I should? And Bilam didn't answer. Bilam didn't answer. If you look in Pasha's Balak, there is no response. So too, says the Medrash, back to our Parsha, Yosef, who's the most junior of all the brothers, the youngest of the brothers, and he gives a teichacha to his older brothers, and they could not withstand it. They could not withstand his teichacha. Says the Medrash, if the donkey gave a teichacha to Bilam, if Yosef was given teichacha, gave teichacha to his brothers, and there's no response, so how will we respond when it comes our time that we will have to give cheshbon? Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoichiach will also give rebuke. Kol echad ve'echad, every single individual, lefi ma shehu, according to what he is. What will we answer? If Bilam had no response to his donkey, if the brothers had no response to their younger brother when they got their teichacha, then what will we answer when we get ours? That's the end of the Medrash. So the Beis Halevi asks, he says, I don't understand. Firstly, what does this mean, Yom Hadin and Yom Teichacha? As if there's a double phenomena going on. It's the day of judgment and the day of rebuke. What are these two factors? But moreover, he asks, what does that mean, that the brothers could not respond to Yosef's rebuke? Which rebuke? Where is Yosef HaTzadik's rebuke? All Yosef said was very simply,
I am Yosef Ha'oid Ovichai. End of drasha. Where's the rebuke?
He asked a very straightforward question. He introduced himself and said, is my father alive? Where is the Tichacha over here? What does the Medrash mean that if Yosef gave Tichacha to the brothers and they couldn't respond, how will we respond to our Tichacha? Which Tichacha did Yosef HaTzadik give? So this whole Pasuk with the Medrash needs explanation. What was Yosef's question exactly? He knew full well that his father was alive. Why could the brothers not respond? What does the Medrash mean when it says that Yosef HaTzadik gave a Tichacha? Which Tichacha? And what is this Yom HaDin and Yom Tichacha? So the Beis HaLevi explains and says a phenomenal Yesod. And this is the key to all the understanding of our parasha. Oid Yosef Chai, when he says, Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Ovi Chai. Ha'oid Ovi Chai, says the Beis HaLevi, was not a question. Ha'oid Ovi Chai was not a question, is my father alive? He knew full well his father was alive. As we mentioned, that was the entire basis for the Tainas of the brothers. What do you mean, is my father alive? That wasn't a question. It was in fact a very poignant Tichacha. Where was the Tichacha? Says the Beis HaLevi, the brothers had come to Yosef and claimed, we cannot possibly return to our father without Binyamin. This will cause him a tremendous tsar. Do you know how Yosef responds? I can disprove you because you yourselves are hypocritical. Because you sold me 20 years ago. And it didn't concern you then about the tsar of your father. Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Ovichai, is our father really alive after what you did to me 20 years ago? It didn't seem to concern you then. So how can you possibly come now with a whole time, oh, Kibudav, we have to be concerned with our father's health and welfare. But that didn't concern you 20 years ago, and therefore your whole taina is flawed. In fact, your whole taina is disproven by who? By you yourselves. Because you yourself once upon a time sold me and didn't concern yourself with our father's health and with his welfare and with Kibud Av. That, says the Beis HaLevi, is in fact the most powerful Tichacha of them all. Why? For a very simple reason. Because when one receives criticism, and one is rebuked, and one hears, why did you do A and B and C? So we're all very quick, and we have plenty of tirutzim, a whole long list of tirutzim. I was too busy, I was too tired, I couldn't, I wouldn't, I shouldn't, I didn't. But when you prove the person's tirutzim to be wrong, and how do you prove them to be wrong? By his very own conduct, then it's a tichacha without response. There is no answer to that. There is no answer because you yourself have in fact disproved any possible answer. And if our father, says Yosef HaTzadik, as far as you were concerned, he was able to live then, despite the fact that you sold me, so how can you come along now and say, oh, we can't come back without Binyamin. What will be to our father's health? If he could live then, he could live now as well. Ha'oid Ovichai, is our father really alive? That wasn't a question. He wasn't investigating, searching out information. He knew very well that the father was alive, and that was precisely his question. If our father was alive, and you didn't seem to be concerned with what happened to him then, so how can you possibly come with a taina, oh, what's going to be to our father? What are the brothers answer? They didn't. Because there is no answer. There is no answer when there's self-hypocrisy. When the person has proved himself to be a stira, mine ube, then there is no answer. Because any answer you're going to give, that you yourself have disproven, and that therefore is the most powerful tichacha of them all. Says the Beis HaLevi, now come back to the Medrash. The Medrash says, Oy lanu miyoyim hadin,
What was this dual judgment? There's a din and there's a teichacha. Says the Beis Halevi, that's what it means. Because after 120 years, will come the day that we will have to give accounting for all that we've done. So there'll be the din. There'll be the judgment. But at the same time, there'll be the teichacha. There'll be the rebuke. What type of rebuke? The lashon of that medrash that we began with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, v'yoychiach kol echod v'echod, each and every individual, lefi mashehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuke every individual according to his own way of living. In other words, the din will be paskin based on the teichacha. Everybody will come upstairs to Shamayim and I'll ask him, why didn't you learn? Why didn't you get stucker? Why didn't you do this? Or have a whole telephone book full of excuses. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you teichacha, lefi mashehu, your own life disproves your own answer, so that's the ultimate teichacha. And if that's the ultimate teichacha, that will be followed up by din, because that's non-answerable. That's non-answerable. So he gives an example, says the Beis Halevi. Imagine somebody is asked, we're looking at the accounts over here, we don't think you gave enough tzedakah. Oh, I was very committed. I was very highly overcommitted, very tied up, and I couldn't afford it. That's a perfectly good excuse. But not if they check the records and it seems to be that you had plenty of money for all types of shtusim v'havolim. You were able to afford a fancy house and three cars and a vacation here, there and everywhere. So what do you mean you don't have the money? After that, there's no answers anymore. Because you yourself have disproven your own case. That's the teichacha, the meila, the din. And that's what Abba Kohen was saying. Oy lono, that's a frightening thought. That's a frightening thought. And Abbas Halevi gives various examples. He says, and it's clear by the way, historically, and he even writes so in a little sentence there in parenthesis, the Beis Halevi, who lived approximately 150 years ago, was of course, like all the Gedolim of his time, were battling the Reform and the Haskalah. And he says, all the great atheists and reformists are so hypocritical, he said, it's unbelievable. They all claim to be great thinkers and philosophers, and when you ask them for the basis of some of their ideology, it turns out it's based on some book written by someone, somewhere, someplace. They've got no idea who, what, which, or when. They're happy to believe it. These people are supposed to be the cutting edge of philosophers and great thinkers, and when it came to their own official career, they would never, chas v'shalom, ever base any outlook on life or scientific approach based on a book that had no basis. But when it comes to this, they're more than happy. When it comes to this, they're more than happy. That's a stira mine ube. That's a stira mine ube. He says, what about limud Torah? Limud Torah. Limud Torah. He brings a story about Eliyahu HaNavi. This is actually recorded in the Talmud de Be'er Eliyahu. In the Talmud de Be'er Eliyahu, it says that Eliyahu HaNavi said about himself, on one occasion, I met somebody, a very simple Jew, who didn't learn at all. Didn't open a sefer. Loi mikra, veloi mishnah, not chumish, not mishnayas, gemara, gornish, nothing, nothing at all. I said to him, says Eliyahu HaNavi, ma ator meshiv, what are you going to respond? La'avicha shebashamayim b'yoyim hadin. You know there's going to be a din v'cheshbon, and one day you're going to have to give accounting, and they're going to ask you, why didn't you learn? You know they're going to ask you that. Omar Ali, so this person responded to Eliyahu HaNavi, and he says, Rabbi, don't worry, I've thought about it, I'm prepared, I've come prepared. But you don't learn at all. What's going to be your answer? Yesh li dvarim sha'ani meshiv. I've got my answer prepared. It's all neatly worded. Everything is prepared. What are you going to say? Very simple. It's not my fault. Why is it not my fault? Bina vodas loy nosnu li min hashamayim. They never gave me a brain. Not my fault. I have no seichel. I can't understand anything. So I'm blameless. Perfectly good teretz. I've got it all worked out. I'm not scared at all of the day of reckoning. That's my answer. I don't have any bina, I don't have any sech, I can't understand anything.
That's why I don't learn. Of course I don't learn. I can't understand anything. Says Eliyahu HaNavi to him, tell me, Ma malachtecha? What's your parnasa? So he says, I'm a fisherman. A fisherman, tell me, how do you go about your trade? And he explained to him all the intricate details. You bring fish down and you weave a net and you have to know how to throw it into the sea and then pull up the net from the sea and then catch the fish. And he says, oh, but there, nosnuli bino min hashamayim. This they gave me understanding. Says Eliyahu HaNavi, if they gave you understanding how to be a fisherman, they didn't give you understanding how to learn a pasuk in the Torah, how to read Chumash and Mishnayos. What happened? It says, miyad he sat down, meirim koiloi boicha, he raised his voice in tears and anguish, because he realized that he was a living hypocrite. There he is, my whole life worked out. I don't need to learn, I have an excuse, because I don't have bino. I'm totally blameless. But suddenly, in order to go fishing, you have bino. So you do have bino after all. It doesn't say that the fisherman responded. Why not? Because he had no response, so he burst into tears and realized the terrible mistake he was making. And that, says the Beis Halevi, is exactly what Abba Kohen Bardela is referring to. And with that, all of the questions are answered. We asked four questions. Firstly, what does Yosef HaTzadik mean when he says, is my father alive? He knew very well. Yes, indeed, he did know well. It wasn't a question, it was a statement. How on earth can you come with a taina that you're concerned about our father Yaakov? You weren't that concerned about him 20 years ago. The second question was, why didn't the brothers respond at all? And the answer is because there is no response to hypocrisy. The third question, what does the Medrash mean? That the brothers received Teichacha. Where was the Teichacha? Yes, Ha'oid Avichai is the greatest Teichacha. To prove that somebody is self-hypocritical is the greatest Teichacha of them all. And fourth and finally, what's the din and what's the Teichacha? The din is the judgment, is the psak. But it's based on Teichacha, the rebuke. They'll prove us wrong, Minei Ube, that we are living steerers. And that's the frightening part of this story. What's so fascinating to point out, we quoted the Medrash. The Medrash actually gave two examples. The Beis Halevi only explains one of them. One example was Yosef and the brothers. Where's the Teichacha? Ha'oid Avichai. But the Medrash also mentions, what was the second example? The donkey of Bilam. The donkey of Bilam says, why are you hitting me? Ha'haskein haskanti. Beis Halevi didn't explain that bit. But here comes the Be'er Yosef. The Be'er Yosef is a beautiful sefer which we have quoted many times over the years, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Talant. And in Parashas Bolok, he takes up the story. He takes up the story and listen to the way he explains in exactly the same vein, in a magnificent way. We know the story. Time after time after time, the donkey veers off into the fields, into the wall, and he stops, and each time Bilam hits him. Until eventually, Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'osein, Kadosh Baruch Hu opens the mouth of the donkey and he says, what have I done to you? Why have you hit me three times? Why have you hit me three times? Ha'haskein ha'haskanti la'aseis l'chokoi, I've always been a faithful, loyal servant of you. Says the Be'er Yosef, one moment. That's a very strange question. What do you mean, why have you hit me? Here we have a human being, and here we have a donkey, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That human beings rule over animal life, and if they don't serve their masters the way they should, then they deserve to be hit. So what was the question? What's the kasha? Why did you hit me three times? Because on three times you didn't do what you were supposed to. What was the question? What was the taina of the chamayr, of the aslan bichlal? But on those very words, ha'haskein hiskanti, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, talking about Bilam's immoral way of life, the night before this whole story unfolded, Bilam had relations with his donkey.
Says the donkey. One second. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which there is mankind and there is the animal kingdom. And man has power and dominion over the animals. But that's only if the animal is down here on the bottom of the ladder and mankind is at the top of the ladder. So there's a hierarchy. But ha'askein hiskanti. If Bilam has relations with his donkey, so how does he relate to his donkey? That there is no difference between man and animal. So why do you hit me then? You have no right anymore to hit me because you are a living hypocrite. Make up your mind. If you feel that you're allowed to hit your donkey, then clearly you view a man as a man, as an animal. And never the twain shall meet. But if Bilam is able to be so immoral and corrupt, have relations with his animal, then clearly he sees animal and man as all being the same. So therefore, the Chamoyer, the Osen, has every right to ask the rhetorical question, which is the Teichacha, how can you hit me three times? So what are you going to say? Because I'm a human being and you're an animal. Yes, but you yourself have disproved that. You're a stira mine obey. So what does Bilam respond? Nothing. There is no response. That's the end of the Taina. Says the Be'er Yosef, so you see that the two Mesholim, that of Yosef and that of the Chamoyer of Bilam, are exactly the same. In both cases, what was the Teichacha? The Teichacha was that you are living hypocrites. There's a life of hypocrisy. You cannot claim that you're concerned about our father's health if 20 years ago you sold me and didn't concern yourself with your father's health. You cannot claim, Bilam, that you are a human being at the top of the hierarchy of the Bria and are allowed to hit an animal if you yourself behave in a way where clearly you see no difference between the two. That's the ultimate Teichacha. That's the ultimate Teichacha, and that's why the Medrash puts them in the same brackets. We see many examples of this. For example, at the end of Acharei Mos, it talks about the Aveira of Moilech. What's Moilech? As we know, it's an Avodah Zarah, fire, and somebody's happy to send his child into the fire for Avodah Zarah. So the Lashon of the Pasuk in Perek Yudches, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Umizaracha loy sitain lahavir la Moilech. Do not give your children to the Moilech Avodah Zarah. Why? It's a tremendous chil Hashem. So what's the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk? The Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk is very fat. You're serving Avodah Zarah as a chil Hashem. Do you know what this foreigner says there? This foreigner says it's worse still. You're giving up your child for Avodah Zarah. One second. How do you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What type of korban do you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You never gave your child for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did you give for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Korban, sheep, a lamb, a cow. So why didn't you give your child up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Oh, I wouldn't possibly offer a human sacrifice, but you just did for Avodah Zarah. That's the Chil Hashem. You're a living hypocrite. What do you consider a worthy sacrifice to your God? Oh, only animals. It would be absolutely cruel and corrupt and ethically wrong to give up my son for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a korban, but you're happy to do so for Avodah Zarah. That's a stirum in Eubay. And of course, maybe the most famous example of them all, every Cheder Yingle knows, but the story is told a little bit different to the way that many of us were taught. But of course, this is the story with how Avraham Avinu rebuked his father Terach and the idols. But listen to the way that the Medrash tells over the story as recorded by Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu went to his father and he says, my father, who created heaven and earth? And me? So his father, Terach, says to him, you want to know who created them? It was my gods. My gods created them. So he says, well, could you show me, please? Could you show me your gods? So he brought him all his psalim, all his idols. Yeah, they created Shemayim, Vaharetz, they created you. Then Avraham Avinu went to his mother, and he said to his mother, please, could you prepare some food? I want to give them to the gods that my father has told me, after all, has created Shemayim and Oretz and me, and after all, that the gods deserve it. So his mother, Avraham Avinu's mother, prepares tafshilim, noim, v'toivim, and Avraham Avinu innocently presents the idols with this food. V'ein koil, v'ein oina. Staggeringly, there's no response, there's no voice. What's going on? I've been tricked. So he goes back to his mother and says, could you please make some tafshilim, noim, v'toivim, min harishonim? Maybe we've got to slightly up the menu. The Avodah Zarah doesn't seem to be so happy with what we've offered so far. That's exactly what she did. V'ein koil v'ein oin. Can't understand. These terrific Avodah Zarah, who created Shemayim, they created Oreb, they created Avram, and they're not eating anything. Suddenly the Shechinah lands on Avram Avinu. And the Pasuk came to him, the Pasuk was just said for a week in Halo. Peh lohem v'lo yidaberu. Einayim lohem v'lo yiru. They might have eyes, they can't see. They might have a mouth, they can't speak. So what did he do? He took a fire and he burnt them all. So the Medrash says. When his father comes back, Terach, and he sees that all of his idols have been burnt, and he says to his son, what's going on? Why did you burn my idols? Omar Leisar after you? No, I didn't burn them. So what happened? The Godel Shabem, the greatest, the biggest of all the idols, got very angry with all the rest, and he burned them all. Omar Lori Beni, he said, my son, Shoite V'chi Yesh Bohem Koyach. Do these idols have any koyach? Oy ruach chayim, that they could do anything? I made them myself out of wood. So what did Avraham Avinu say? The famous words. Yishmu oznecha masher picha oimer. If only your ears would listen to the words that came out of your own mouth. Im ein bohem koyach. If they have no koyach, then how could they possibly have created shomayim va'aretz? And that's the end of the story. Why is that the end of the story? Because there is no Hemshech. Because there is no response by Terach, other than the Medrash continues. You see, march him off to Nimrod, etc., etc. But the conversation ends here, because that is the ultimate conversation stopper. There is no response. You've proved yourself to be hypocritical. On the one hand, you claim that what? That these idols created the world. But you're assuming they obey, because when I told you that one burned the other, you said, no, it can't be, because I've got zero koyach. So you're a steer. You are a living steer. That's the end of the conversation. That is the ultimate teichocha, and it's a teichocha which has no comeback. There is no response to it. And maybe just one final example. And this I heard many years ago from Rabbi Lef, Rabbi Zev Lef, in his unique way of looking at the Chumash. First pasuk in Parashas Devarim. Eile ha-dvarim, we all know, Moshe Rabbeinu lists out in hint form all the aveiras that Klal Yisrael did. It's all in hint. What does it say? Ba'arov, Moel Suf, Teufel, Lovon, Chatzeres. All these vague words, and Rashi goes through them one by one. This is a reference to the Egel, and this is a reference to when they complained about the Mon. So why is it all hint formed? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to embarrass them. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to embarrass them, and therefore when he wanted to give them Teichocha, what did he do? He just said it beremes. So my left once asked, if you carry on the Psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu after that went into tremendous detail. Went into the whole story of the Meraglim. So what does it help just to mention the headline in hint form if in the next Tosuk you mention the whole story in great detail? So he said a phenomenal explanation. Exactly this you said. When you come to Klal Yisrael and you go into all the details of, for example, the Meraglim, and then you sent 12 Meraglim and they came back with a report and you cried, why did you do so? Rest assured, Klal Yisrael would have a whole catalogue of terutzim, because of this, because of that, it's all justified. When is it no longer justified? When suddenly, in the same sentence, you mention a different Aveira, which counters all the arguments that were supposed to be the justification for the first. So listen to the way he reads the Pasuk, absolutely phenomenal. Bein Poron, thinly veiled reference to the Meraglim. Bein Paron, because they were in Paron when they sent the Meraglim. Now, if you address that head on, why did you send Meraglim? They would have 101 tirus. What's the next words? Bein Paron. And then it says, Teufel v'lovon. Teufel v'lovon, what's lovon? The white. What's being referred to over here? When they complain to the mom, about the mom. Says Rebler. If you would have asked Klal Yisrael, why did you send Meraglim? Why did you not want to Eretz Yisrael? Oh, they would have had justification for that. You know what they would have said? We're living in the Midbar. Supernatural, miraculous existence. We don't have to go into Eretz Yisrael and have to work the land and live the life of Gashmius. But the Lavan! But you yourself complained about the mom when you had mom. That's miraculous, and you didn't want to have that. That's a serum in Eubay. So when you list out the whole story in detail, that's no problem. We have a whole list of terutzim. But put the two together, it's all over. Bein Poron, you sent them the Radley because you didn't want to live a life of gashmis. You want to live a supernatural existence. So why did you complain about the mom? That's the sphere. Look at the next words in the pasuk. V'chatzeirais v'dizahov. What's chatzeirais? Chatzeirais is the avera of Korach. And what's di zohov, gold? The golden calf. What happened with Korach? Korach, and it wasn't just Korach, it was 250 of his merry men. What do they all claim? We don't need one leader. We can all be leaders. Kulam kedoshim. Maybe that could be justified. But not it's followed out with di zohov. What's di zohov? You follow the golden calf, we have to have one leader. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here, we have to have an intermediary, we have to have one leader. So you've proved yourself a serum in Eubay. You can list all the stories out in great detail for 101 tirutzim. Mention them briefly in one category, that's all over. That's all over. And he said then a phenomenal thing. He said in his drasha that comes Tisha B'Av. And as we know, on Tisha B'Av is the day that we record and commemorate all the other tragedies that have befallen Klal Yisrael as well. Not just the Churban Bayis based on Mikdash. Why is that? We just want to put them all one day for convenience? So he says, no. Because if you commemorate each one on a separate occasion, you could justify Churban Bayis, and you could justify Churban of Europe, and you can justify it, but not when they're put all together. Botlo Tirutzim. This disproves that, and that disproves the other, and that's the ultimate tichocha. That's the ultimate tichocha. And this is the tremendous limud that we're learning from those three words of Yosef HaTzadik. Ha'oid Avichai. Ha'oid Avichai. Let me just perhaps finish off. I once heard that there was an irreligious nurse in Shari Tzedek Hospital. And she became pregnant and she wanted to abort. And they tried to talk her out of it. How could you do such a thing? No, it's my life and it's my body and I could do whatever I like. And they managed to convince her to go to speak to the God Al-Hadoy of Shlomo Zalman Eibach. Well, why should I speak to him? What's it? No, he's a tremendous pikeach and he's a huge chacham and he'll speak to you. Fine. So she's masking to go. She's masking to go. They briefed Reb Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, leave it to me. She walks in. Shalom Aleichem. What's your name? He wants to abort. Yes. My privilege, my body, I can do whatever I like. Fine, okay. Tommy, what do you do for Parnassa? She was shocked by the question. That wasn't the subject that they came to discuss. She said, I'm a nurse in a hospital. Why? Because that's what I do for a living. Why did you choose that for a living? Because it's a privilege to work in a hospital and help people. Why is that a privilege? She's looking at Shlomo Zalman. He was described as being a great big pikeach. It doesn't sound like questions full of pikchus. She says, because it's a privilege. People are ill there, and then I can try and restore them and help them out. Why is that a privilege to help them out? She says, because they're in pain, and they're ill, and I'm treating them. So what? She says, because some of them are seriously ill. That's why they were brought to hospital, and literally at some of them at death's door and at serious life-threatening illnesses, and I can save them. That's my privilege. What a special duty it is. Why is it so special? She says, because the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life. I can bring these people life. Every moment of life is absolutely sacred. Oh, really? Every single moment of life is sacred? Ah, she's straight. Yeah, no, I didn't mean that. It was too late. She's already proved herself as a Stiru Menehu Bey. She wants to give up the life of an unborn child, but she's privileged to save those who are suffering from disease. That's a Stiru Menehu Bey. Story is told, Rav Chaim Brisker was once on a train. And he overhears a conversation between a Christian priest and a Rav. And there's a whole argument going on, and the Christian priest says to the Rav, Chazal, your rabbis, as it were, they didn't quite get it, I think. They made mistakes. Mistakes? How can you say such a thing? Well, they said that our Yoshki, head of the Christian religion, was not exactly what we claim him to be, but I think Chazal make mistakes. What do you mean makes mistakes? Well, they spoke about Bar Kochba, and they said that he's the Mashiach. So you see, they got it wrong. So if they made a mistake, you see, they're prone to making mistakes. So Chaim Brisker immediately got up from his place and says, excuse me, they made no mistake whatsoever. Bar Kochba is the Mashiach. If they say Bar Kochba is the Mashiach, then he's the Mashiach. They looked at him and said, Rabbi, what do you Bar Kochba is the Mashiach? He's dead. He's died. And if he's died, he's not coming back ever again. So Rav Chaim says, listen to what you just said. Listen to what you just said. If he's died, he's dead. No, we didn't quite mean that. What we meant was, too late. You're a Stiru Menehu Bey. You're a Stiru Menehu Bey. You believe in somebody who's died 2,000 years ago, but it can't be because he died, he's not coming back. Maybe just finally, I verify the story today, but apparently in Britain, in England, maybe you'll confirm the story. And my brother told me today, the famous landmark case of the doctor John Bodkin Adams. John Bodkin Adams was a famous doctor, apparently, who was accused of malpractice. Accused of mistreating some of his patients and misdiagnosing and giving the wrong medication, and he was accused of murder. And the main prosecuting witness was a nurse with whom he worked, and she said, yeah, I know. And in fact, on one particular occasion, went to visit an elderly patient and he misdiagnosed and he gave him the wrong medication deliberately and killed off the patient. He must have had ulterior motives. And it went to the High Court in Britain. It was a tremendous publicized case and a very difficult case to decide. And it came to the weekend and the court was adjourned. And so now take a break and we're going to come back after the weekend to resume the story. The defense judge was on the train during the midst of this story and himself, he was very torn which way this story was going to go. And somebody approached him and he said, you know, by law, the nurse has to write up an account of her day-to-day in the office. What actually happened? And I think I can have access to those accounts, to that write-up. And they found the write-up of the nurse on that particular day with the doctor, and she writes there he treated her with such care and dedication and devotion and is full of praise for this doctor. This nurse obviously had something against this doctor, but she herself had written what tremendous devotion and dedicated service this doctor had offered. The lawyer took the write-up, put it, folded it in his pocket. Came after the weekend, they arrive at the court, the nurse once again, who would you want to give your evidence? Yes, I was with a doctor and he's malpractice and he doesn't care about his patients and he killed them off. He takes out of his pocket, Do you recognize his writing? She looks and says, yes, it's my writing. Would you like to read it for the court, please? And she reads up in the court of how she herself had written with her own hands what a tremendous doctor he was. So she proved herself an absolute hypocrite. That was the end of the case. The whole thing was adjourned and he was acquitted. That's the biggest story that we're learning. We sometimes give tirutzim. And more often than not, we give tirutzim. When we say the terrible words, I can't. I can't learn, and I can't daven, and I can't get stocker. We just have to make sure. Oy lanu miyema din, oy yonu miyema techocha, that we ourselves are not actually living a life disproving our own tirutzim.